Happy Moms Day. Let's give our moms a hand this morning. Really glad that you joined us today in worship. We're glad that we could connect with you here and online this morning. Moms, we got a very special day for you today, so a very special message. So we hope that you feel encouraged and supported here at Hope. Go ahead, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to Luke chapter 24 this morning. You can use the YouVersion, YOUVersion Bible app. Same thing. Also, just so you know, we have notes that you can come in with today and grab, help you stay connected with the message, or you can grab them on your way out if you like what I have to say, all right? So, you know, what we're studying here is learning to walk with Jesus, and we're looking at the lives of those whom Jesus encountered following the resurrection. Do you realize Easter was just a few weeks ago? Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is one of those years where Easter falls late and Mother's Day falls early, so it was really perfect timing for me to land on some of the women that Jesus encountered following the resurrection. And these are true stories, and I don't find it coincidence. I don't find it circumstantial that Jesus chose to meet with the women first. There's got to be a woman in here to say amen to that. Amen. Amen, right? First, he chose to reveal himself, to show himself to the women. Why? And here's what we're going to discover. They had such incredible faith. And just so you know, culturally back then, this would not be the way that you would grant validity to the resurrection. So if this was just a bunch of guys making up some story about Jesus rising from the dead, they would not include these parts. They would not include evidence from women because women's testimony back then was often discredited, was often put down. So all the more, right? All the more reason the biblical writers, by the Holy Spirit, put these stories in because they happened. Because it's true. Because logically it gives credibility that Jesus rose from the dead. So not any more reason to doubt, all the more reason to believe. And for now, for millennia, Jesus, and through his word, has raised these women up in prominence and of great importance. Today I want to literally learn from them. Learn from these women who I'm saying have changed the world by their testimony and by how they live their lives. And in turn, here's what I want. This message is for the moms, but not just for the moms. It's for men and women, young and old, single or married. How do you want to be a world changer in your life? Because here's what I believe. I believe this, that, I mean, you're here today. Most of us want to make a difference, wouldn't you agree? I mean, in the good times of your life, when you sit and think on your life, you say, okay, what do I want to do with it? You want to make a positive difference, whether it's in your family, in your job, in your community. Yeah, and I get it. We have those down days. We have those depression days. We have those despairing days when we say, I don't know if I'm making any kind of difference at all in my life. I get that. But on a good day, and I'm just letting you know a little secret, guess what? Today's a good day. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's a good day. Come on. It's a good day. So on a good day, you are saying, I want to make a difference. And I want to look at these women in the Bible who Jesus showed up to following the resurrection and say and look at their lives. How in the world did they make a difference? How did they literally change the world? Too often when we think of world changers, we kind of think of the celebrity. Maybe we think of a scientist, or we think of president, or we think of war heroes, or we can even think, you know, in our modern day, we say, okay, who's really changed the world? And maybe some of the technological advances, we would think of Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, who marketed technology, so that's made a huge difference in the world. Or maybe we would think of Elon Musk, you know, electric cars, and he's sending all these people to space. It's crazy, so crazy that NASA is paying him millions of dollars to do it. And history will look back and say, oh yeah, those guys made a difference for a decade or two, or maybe a century or two. But I'm telling you, the women we're going to look at today have made a difference for over 2 millennia. These women we're going to look at today have changed the world from whenever they began to live throughout all eternity. And they have characteristics from their life that if we look at, we can begin to live out as well. So first of all, we're going to do a little history lesson, okay? Yay, history. I want to give you the names of these women, and if we pull all the Bible passages that refer to them, I'm going to give you a little history. Because, you know, some of you in your Bible reading, you come across these names, and, you know, you do what I do when you get to names. You just kind of blow on right by, right? But here's what I want you. If you were to combine and look at the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and so each one of them are telling the resurrection from a different perspective, each highlight a different woman of importance. First of all, just so you know, there were 4 different Marys. How many Marys in the room today, right? Your name was more than popular back then. I mean, it's like almost every daughter was, oh, what are you going to call her? Mary. It's just what they did. So the first Mary, of course, that we all think of, right, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she remained so close to Jesus through the crucifixion, after the resurrection. What you might not know is that Mary and Joseph also gave birth to 2 boys, and one of them was the name of James, and not the apostle James, but James, the leader of the church, who wrote in your Bibles the book of James. And you know Jude was his brother? And so also you have Jude, who was a child of Mary and Joseph. And he was also a leader in the church. And then we have, you know, you're not familiar with another Mary Magdalene. You ever heard of Mary Magdalene? Yeah, okay. Now, there's been a lot of speculation of that Mary, and there's actually been some really goofy stories out there, but here's what we know for sure. She was from Galilee. She was from a town called Magdala. So her last name was not Magdalene. It was just like that's where she was from. You know, Jesus of Nazareth, Mary of Magdalene. And it's true that Jesus did deliver her from the oppression of 7 demons. And it's speculated, okay, whether or not this Mary was a prostitute or not. And they look back to Luke chapter 7 because there's a reference of an immoral woman. A whole story about how she came into a dinner party and anointed Jesus' feet with oil. Now, that is just speculation. Could be true, but we don't know that to be true. We have no way of knowing. But here's what we do know. She's ever present throughout Jesus' ministry, and she was there for the resurrection, and she was the very first one, her and her alone, that saw Jesus for the first time. Then we have another Mary. And she's a mother of another James. That was, how many Jims here today? Very popular name back then too, James. James and a different Joseph. James, called James the Less, was another apostle. So here, mom of another apostle. And Joseph would go on as well to be a leader in the church. And there's one more Mary. Here we go, last Mary. Mary of Clopas. Based on history, she would have been Joseph's, so Mary and Joseph, follow me here, family tree, Joseph's sister. So this is Jesus' aunt. And her son, Jesus' cousin, you still with me tracking this? I do terrible tracking this when people tell me these stories. I just give up right away. But her cousin, his cousin, Jesus' cousin, was Simeon. He became the leader of the Jerusalem church after James. Those are the Marys. Another woman that was special to Jesus was Joanna, wife of Chuza. Chuza was the household manager of a regional king. You've heard of King Herod? She was the wife of the manager of his whole house. She had influence socially, politically. She also gave financial gifts to keep Jesus' ministry going. And finally, we have Salome. Salome was the mom of the 2 apostles, the sons of Zebedee. Salome is Zebedee's wife, all right? And that is James and John. Now, I wish I could show you pictures up there. I can't. Because the pictures, if you were to Google them, you know, they're all written in some, like, English artwork, Renaissance artwork. It doesn't work. Or we could show pictures up from some movies. That doesn't work. Let me read you an account. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 8, but very early Sunday morning, the women, so all those women, went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away at the entrance, so they went in and didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus, and they stood there puzzled, but they didn't find the body of the Lord. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed down on their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking for the dead among someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Here's the important line. Then they remembered. Then they remembered that he had said this. An act of faith. How do you and I become a world changer? How do we have this act of faith? I got four things we can learn from them today. How do we become a world changer for Jesus? Number one, I must begin with humility. I must begin with honesty. See, early in Luke, we read another story, just real quick, a few verses here about some of these women. Soon afterward, Jesus began to tour nearby towns and villages. He was preaching the good news, the kingdom of God. He took 12 disciples with them, along with them, some of the women who had been what? Cured of evil spirits and diseases. And Luke feels it's important here to mention who these women are. Among them were Mary Magdalene, for whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. Here's what is implied from this passage. At least two of the women, at least two, are mentioned later about at the resurrection, Mary Magdalene and Joanna. And it says here that these women who were following Jesus and either had demons cast out or had been healed of their diseases. So initially, when they encountered Jesus, they had a huge need. And initially, when they went to Jesus, they were humble enough and honest enough about what was going on in their lives to say, "Jesus, I need you. Jesus, would you touch me? Jesus, would you deliver me? Jesus, would you heal me? I don't know what I'm going to do, Jesus. I don't know even for sure who you are. I've heard about all this stuff going on, but I'm showing up because I got some problems." Now, we don't know of the oppression. You know, it's speculated, you know, in Luke chapter 7, if you look at this verse, that here's this woman of sin that could have been Mary Magdalene, but it was still another woman, perhaps another woman who still followed Jesus. It's not out of line for anyone who's gone through sexual abuse, terrible sexual abuse, to feel oppressions of all kinds. Don't know for sure if this is Mary Magdalene or not, but here's the conclusion. I want you to see it. These women were broken. Past abuse, perhaps torn relationships, physical bodies that were falling apart, and they were humble and honest enough to get help. See, a world changer for Jesus never begins with greatness. A world changer for Jesus, and now these women have been honored for centuries upon centuries upon centuries, but that's not how it started out. These women were hurting, they were broken, and they needed help. Here's what I've learned, and I see it in God's Word. I've seen it in my life in 25 years of ministry, a little formula: humility plus honesty equals healing. Did you hear that? Humility plus honesty equals healing. And this isn't some magic formula that guarantees all physical healing in your life. Listen carefully. God is still God, and God will accomplish healing whenever he chooses to do that. This is not just some man-made formula for you to have success, but what I see is a pattern. I see it in God's Word. I see it in people that I talked with. Those who are humble, those who are honest, that they need more than what they have, that they need Jesus, receive healing. Receive healing from the havoc of broken relationships. Receive healing from the havoc of the abuse, or even the emotional trauma that they've gone through as they desire physical healing in their life or anything. As they're humble and as they're honest, God moves. In other words, it's a brokenness that simply says, "Jesus, I need you." So much so that Jesus, open-handed now, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with my broken heart. I'm going to trust you with the abuse. I'm going to trust you with the broken relationships. I'm going to trust you to heal my life. And I want you to notice about these women, they could have, right? They could have easily, because there's other examples in the Bible, of people who just got healed and went on their way. They didn't go on their way. They got healed, and their life was so radically changed that they said, I want to stay. I just want to be near Jesus. I just want to hang out. I want to listen to him some more. I want to see him do more in other people's life. And look at how Jesus responded to them. Jesus, with his eyes of hope and his eyes of deliverance, saw past their oppression, saw past their sickness, saw the end of the story and the testimony they would bring to him. And Jesus broke all cultural norms and said, I want you women here as part of the inner circle. I want to call you my friends. Guys didn't do that back then. Teachers, rabbis didn't do that back then. But their claim to fame began with humility and honesty. Secondly, number two, I start with that, and then I press into personal holiness. So regardless of whatever conclusions that we come to around Mary Magdalene, I just want to show you a story. And I want to talk about how Jesus chose to talk to her for the first time. So whether she was a prostitute or not, we know she was deeply distressed, deeply oppressed by seven evil spirits. And, you know, that had to wreak all kinds of havoc in her life. But from that moment on, she made a decision. I want to be constantly around Jesus. I want to be around this man that dramatically changed my life. And so I'm going to humbly listen to what he has to say. I'm going to humbly obey and follow what he has to say. I want to humbly watch the miracles and do anything that I can with this group of disciples and help out in any way I can. And look what's implied here in these resurrection stories. Jesus chose to meet with her first. Why not Peter? He was going to be the leader of the church. Why not John, who calls himself the beloved? I think back to Jesus' teaching on forgiveness. Do you remember that? You love much because you've been forgiven much. I think Mary loved much. So much she just wanted to be around Jesus because she was forgiven of so much. So much so that even after his death, out of love, she just wanted to take care of Jesus, take care of his body. She just wanted to be near him. We see this in John chapter 20. And the story goes that Mary and also the women all went to see Jesus. They found that Jesus had been taken away. So they all ran and they told Peter and John. And Peter and John, remember the story, if you look at all the stories, they rushed back to the empty grave, but then it says they went home. Mary didn't go home. Mary still somehow wanted to be near Jesus. And as she's sitting there, she looks in the tomb again, and there the angels are there again. And after a brief conversation, which, by the way, don't you think is incredibly brave that Mary would have a conversation? I don't know about you. I see two angels. I'm not doing much talking. But Mary's talking to him. After she says a few words, she turns around and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize. And here, look at Jesus' response. Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Look at that carefully. Do you see the humble honesty? Do you see the brokenness? I just want to be near Jesus. Tell me, gardener, where have you put him? Something's wrong. Something's broke. This does not make sense. I want to be near Jesus, and I am going to get him. I looked at that and said, well, who's going to help her? She was ready to go wherever Jesus was, however far Jesus was, and I don't know, sling Jesus over her shoulder and bring him back to the tomb? That's how desperate she was for Jesus. That's how near she wanted to be with Jesus. That was her heart longing. It makes perfect sense that this is who Jesus would show up to first. Doesn't it? The living Jesus knew this. Look at his response. One word. He just has to say one word. And it's her name. Mary. And look at the one word that she replies back. Teacher. Leader. The one that I'm following. Just one word. I'm one of your disciples, Jesus. I've followed you. I was willing to go anywhere with you. It was that personal for Jesus and that personal for Mary. All it took between the two of them is one word. What about you? You want to be a world changer? Do you have that one word relationship where you know Jesus has called out your name and you in turn have responded and said, teacher. You know, I have to believe this. Mary just wasn't healed and then ignored Jesus' teaching. I have to know this, that to have such personal relationship with Jesus, she embraced all the change Jesus wanted to bring into her life. She embraced all her hardship, all of her junk, all of her sin. And over time, from the time she first met him to this point, she had been revolutionized. She had been changed. She had been, by Jesus, made holy. Do you know what holy means? It simply means set apart. It simply means sacred. Her life was sacred now. Her life was set apart. She had experienced personal holiness. So much so, Jesus just has to say, Mary. She just has to say, teacher. And she becomes a world changer. Want to be a world changer? There's going to be some things that Jesus wants to teach us. There's going to have to be some set apartness. You know, this is so opposite from the world's view of greatness, isn't it? Have you ever thought of who we make great, who we highlight, who we say, you know, the big word now is they say, the influencers. You know, how much following you get on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or whatever. You're an influencer. You heard that? Who influences us? Let me ask you, just, is it anybody good? Why are we so compelled? We want to follow the bad boys. Why are we so compelled to look at the bad girls and be a bad girl or be a bad boy? Think about in your life now, who has made a difference in your life? Like a real heart difference. Chances are it's going to be somebody of unbelievable character, isn't it? Maybe it was your grandma. Maybe it was an older friend who you came to know Jesus and walked with you. It's going to be somebody of great character that's really made a difference in your life. It's not one of the superstars whose lives are a wreck. We need to realize we need Jesus to change us and move us into personal holiness, because that's what's going to make a difference in our world around us. You see that? Number three. How can I be a true life changer? I need to realize that through Jesus, and this is for the moms and dads, and well, this is for the moms, I can radically influence my home. Here, I got a special word to the moms here this morning. It applies to all of us, but moms, here you go. Never underestimate the power of influence you have on your kids and your grandkids. Never underestimate that. Never just say it doesn't matter. Never say your kids are too far gone. You can't make a difference. So here we have some of the women during the crucifixion who are watching from a distance. It included Mary Magdalene, Mark chapter 15. Mary, the mother of James and the younger and Joseph, and Salome. The mother of Jesus' two closest friends, James and John, was there close watching. From a distance, but she at least hadn't run off and hid like the others. James would later be martyred for his faith in Jesus. John, you know, John would become a leader of the church and write the Gospel of John and write his three letters and write the book of Revelation. We also have Mary, the mother of James the Younger. James, one of the apostles. Later we find that we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. She's also the mom, remember we said that, of James the Elder, of Jude, future leaders of the church. What do all these women have in common? They were moms. They were moms of children who made a huge, dramatic difference for the kingdom of God. They were moms of children who would change the world forever. Do you think, as we look at these stories, do you think their spiritual lives matter to their boys? You bet they do. These guys were following Jesus, but their moms were along too. We have to remember this. You remember the apostles were really young. We would call them kids today. Older teenagers at best. So absolutely their passion for God had to lean over, had to be picked up by their boys. It is no accident that together they witnessed Jesus' miracles. It's no accident that together they heard the teaching, that together they saw the crucifixion and resurrection. And God chose to reveal the resurrection to the moms first. I don't know, maybe it was a huge thank you to the moms. Moms and grandmas, don't underestimate the power of your influence. So those of you know, around this time last year, I was on sabbatical. And in my sabbatical, I was working through and thinking through my past and thinking through those who have had an influential impact on my life. And I began to think, what person or persons had the most impact? So I thought about some pastors in my life. And then, I thought about some youth workers and a kids pastor. And then I thought maybe about friends that I had in Youth with a Mission or in college or professors in seminary. And then I'm telling you the truth. It became unbelievably clear, and there was just clarity that the person who has had the most impact on my spiritual life by a long shot was my mom. By a long shot. It was my mom who led me to Christ at age 6 or 7. I can still picture the olive green 70s couch I prayed on. It was my mom who read Bible stories. I remember her reading Pilgrim's Progress to us. It was my mom. I came back from YWAM. I was discouraged. She encouraged me. I was in college my first year. I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. I was on the phone with her crying, trying to figure out what to do. What should be my major? It was my mom who encouraged me as I pursued ministry. And to this day, I get done preaching at this first service. I go into my office, and ever since COVID, now most of the time, if not all the time, there's a text from my mom. Great job today. Great delivery. Wow, that was a great message. And I know she's biased, right? She's just biased. But you know what? I still go look every Sunday on the phone. I have a mom who still sought hard after Jesus after through some horrible, horrible years and painful years in her own life. And she's still saying yes every day to Jesus. And she will say you and she will tell you that it is Jesus has been her strength in these hard years. So moms, let me tell you, your spiritual pastor, passion, do not underestimate it. Your kids are watching. Your kids are learning. As you bring them to church, as you live out your life, they are noticing. As you seek Jesus to change you, because he's your only hope, he will change you. And they will notice. As you look Jesus to fight your battles. How many of you could resonate? How many moms could resonate with the songs we sang today? Jesus, I need you to fight my battles because I can't do it. your kids are going to notice. And just so you know, it's not, moms, it's not just dropping them off to church so they can do their religious thing. It's you doing the religious thing with them. It's about having them watch you read your Bible, whether they say anything or not. It's having you pray for them out loud. It's about them watching you being committed to your family, to your marriage. You cannot undercut the power of influence that you have in your home. Literally, right here in these texts, it's world-changing. It's going to be because of Jesus' work through you and in you. Now, for some of you this morning, that may be encouraging. For others, maybe you're thinking, I've messed up too much. It's discouraging. Don't let that. Remember, we said the day earlier, it's going to be a good day, right? This is a good day. Because in Jesus, every day is a fresh start. And Jesus can make everything new. And Jesus can change your life begin today. So much so that your life can be world-changing. And you can have that influence. Imagine having the Holy Spirit in your life, in your home. Let me just ask you this quick question. Fruit of the Spirit in your home, do you need more love? Yes or no? Peace? Joy? Long-suffering? Yes. Seek Jesus for the long-suffering stuff, right? And Jesus is going to give you kindness, and Jesus is going to give you more gentleness. And change the world. Same for you, grandmas. This word for you today. Your kids will know who you are. Your grandkids will know. Yeah, maybe by some of the things you say, but don't feel like you got to hit them over the head with it. It's going to be how you live. Your sure and confident and secure faith in Jesus. Do you realize that our young people have very few people they look up to? And they will look up to you, grandmas. Do you realize that our young people don't have hardly anyone praying for them? But they have you. And you can pray for them. They don't have a lot of people that will just spend time with them. Can you just spend a little bit of time? And you can do it now, near or far. They make this little thing. It's called an iPhone, and they have a little FaceTime on it. You can do it. And you say, well, I just don't know. I just, my grandkids are terrible. I just can't stand being around them. Don't lie to me. I know it's true. I got one word. Ice cream. Take them out for ice cream. It's cheap. Take them out for ice cream and they'll remember that. Have a conversation. Oh, I can't spend the whole day with them. Then don't. 2 hours. You can cut up with them for 2 hours. They will remember. Take them out for ice cream. Tell them a story when they're little. Read to them Bible stories. Read to them books. An hour or two of that kind of love? They don't get that kind of stuff from anybody else, grandmas. They just don't get it. You can be it. And you can change the world. Those of you who don't have kids at home or not a mom, look at this. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager. You can have influence in your job. Joanna did. You can have influence in your community. Joanna did. You can have social influence in lives around you. That leads me to our fourth point. And I'll close with this. It's real quick. You can display, and that's what I call, I saw boldness, but really, this is heroism, heroic confidence in your trust of Jesus. Look with me, John chapter 19, verse 25, standing near the cross, here are all these women. Standing near the cross, what do we know? The guys ran away. The women stood near the cross. We know from a later passage that the women were gathered at the cross and John was standing with the women, the apostle John. Well, why? Well, Jesus' mom was there, but his mom was there. Here's what I imagine. John's a young teen. I imagine kind of him standing near the cross. This is just me. It's not in your Bible. I'm just imagining this. He's crouching behind his mom. heroic bravery. They were the ones, we're not afraid to stand right next to Jesus and say, I'm weeping for this man that I believe in. So what? Throw me in jail. I don't care. I love the ending of this verse. Luke 24 again. And they remembered that he had said this, so they remembered what Jesus had said, and they rushed back to the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. And once again, the list of names, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women, all these women, follow this, told the apostles what had happened. They remembered what Jesus said, they believed, they tell the apostles, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men. They didn't believe it. Oh, is that ever true? Married or unmarried, mom or not mom, and I know for some of you this is a hard day. Mother's Day is a hard day. But just know this, as a woman, as you believe, and maybe you have an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving dad, as you share, as you tell, it's eventually going to get through to us. Can you imagine, this is just for fun, I was imagining this. So they told the guy says, oh, that's nonsense, whatever, and they ran off, checked it out, whatever. And then, it's like that night, it says that night they're all gathered in the room, and Jesus kind of shows up, like the door's locked and Jesus is there. Can you see the smile on the women's faces? Told you so. I know you women would never do that. But I just have to imagine. Big grin. Told you so. Forever for all eternity, it's heroism. Changed the world. They believed. They proclaimed. They announced the risen King. But where'd that faith come from? We sang about it this morning. Just comes from that honesty, that humility that says, Jesus, I need you. My life's a mess. Will you turn my life around? Will you battle for me? Because I can't fight for myself. Can we just pray around that this morning? Almighty God, today, this day, this Mother's Day, I know that there's got to be some moms here that need a fresh start. Sense of new faith. So right now in your heart and in your mind, you could just simply pray, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, use me. Heal me. Heal my brokenness. And then use me. Use me in my home. Use me at my work. Use me in my community. I want to be a world changer. Grant me faith to be bold, to be heroic, to stand up for you. So through me, Jesus, I pray. We all pray. Use us to change the world.